Hey everyone, welcome in to another daily editorial here on the KE Report. We're chatting with Dave Erfley, founder and editor of the Junior Miner Junkie. Now Dave, this week a lot of people are waiting for the inflation numbers, the CPI data that comes out on Friday, and then it's the Fed meeting, middle of next week, along with the statement and press conference from Jerome Powell. It seems pretty much baked in that a 50 basis point hike is coming, and the expectations are for another meeting after that, another 50 basis point hike, and then a lot of commentators are starting to guess at what direction the Fed takes. Dave, do you think that the inflation data or this Fed meeting will do anything to move markets, especially for what you focus on within the Junior Miner Junkie, being the resource stocks?
Yeah, Corey, I do. You know, it's funny, you know, like you said, all this stuff is baked in, but what they say is not baked in. This CPI number that's coming out, and with energy continuing to go up throughout the month of May, I don't see how these inflation numbers are going to be lower than expected. I think the best they can hope for is maybe they're going to be what they expect, and maybe, but I expect them to maybe even be a little higher. And this will affect the stock market. This will affect the silver price, especially, and the miners, because if you take a look at the miners and silver, they're pretty much tracking together along with the stock market as risk off has come in. But, you know, we're seeing a short covering rally in the stock market, and we're seeing basically the similar in the mining stocks. It's funny, I follow the GDXJ very closely, and previously when the GDXJ was rising on that bounce into late April, and it gone up like nine of 11 weeks, and you know it passed the 47 mark and it was going higher. That 47 mark was acting like a magnet, and you know it just completely fell out of bed when the stock market did back at the end of April. Well, the 40 level now is acting like a magnet in GDXJ. That's where the 200 week moving average is, and the uptrend still is intact as long as it stays above 38. But you know the volume is on the daily in the GDX. You see up volume spikes are higher than on down days. So you are starting to see some accumulation in the GDXJ of value investors. But we still have to be wary of another one more move down to maybe test that 35 area in early May. And that's long-term support. So we have to be wary of that possibly being tested. So, you know, it's iffy right now. You know, we could go either way, but I think it's going to key around that Fed meeting. You know, it's not what they do. It's going to key around. It's what they say, what Powell says in that press conference afterwards. You know, when they try to get more information out of them and try to get an idea of what they're thinking about in the future. Are they going to maybe step it up to 75 basis points in July? You know, basically 50 basis points are pretty much priced in for June and July. Even September now is. The market is expecting 225 to 2.5 basis points in the Fed funds rate by September. That's pretty much priced in. So it's all gonna revolve around what the Fed says next Wednesday, I think. And it's funny, the Fed meeting is taking place right in the middle of the PDAC conference, you know, and there's always that PDAC curse as far as the juniors are concerned. You know, the juniors have pretty much already been cursed into the conference. So we're going to see what happens next week. I think there's going to be a sharp move in either direction next week. It looks like that's what it's playing up to.
Oh, Dave, the PDAC curse. We can't seem to ever escape it, even if they move the conference.
But, exactly.
You bring up a good point in that a lot of people will be keyed off what the Fed says more so than what they do. And that's really been the case for the last year or so, or even longer. We've been in an upside down world where bad news is good because the Fed's going to step in and do more, or good news is bad because then they may dial back what they're doing. So I think it's really going to come down to their messaging coming out of this next meeting. But you brought up another interesting point. I'd love you to expand on it or maybe discuss it more. And that is the mining stocks have really been trading with the stock market. And a lot of people suggest that we need to see a decoupling of that for the precious metals to really break out. What will cause that? Because right now, if the stock market sells off, the mining stocks get hit. If the stock market rebounds, the mining stocks get a little bounce. What will cause them to decouple in your mind?
Yeah, that is the $64 million question. In previous deleveraging occurrences in the stock market. The gold stocks have always bottomed before general equities. The best example is 2008 was quite an ordeal for investors, and especially in the mining sector. In October of 2008, we just had just a plunge in the entire mining sector as the gold price failed at $1,000. That was a key round number back then. Just like $2,000 is a key round number right now. Well, back then it was $1,000, and the gold price had got up to $1,000 a few times, and then it just took a nosedive during the financial crisis when it got to 700. And that took place in October of 2008. I vividly remember when it took place, because I had a bunch of cash and I held my nose and I bought a couple of silver stocks that went up multi-baggers for me. And when that took place, it was, like I said, it was October 2008, but the stock market didn't bottom until 5 months later in March of 2009. And all during that time, from October 2008 to March of 2009, the gold stocks were bifurcating quite considerably. They were going up. And I think that'll take place again here. We just don't know when. Sure, we could have, you know, more bounce here in the stock market, and then maybe a final plunge in the stock market into September, because I still think the stock market has a ways to go down yet, as the Fed put, you know, they're no longer propping up these markets. So, you know, global central banks are no longer propping up any of them, their markets. So that's what has been goosing this rise from, you know, from the pandemic lows. So I wouldn't be surprised to see, you know, more selling coming into the stock market after this short covering bounce. Because if you take a look at the S&P short positions, 310 billion shorts right now, the total in the U.S. equity futures, which is the second highest since the pandemic peak. So I think that's got a little bit more to unwind. So I wouldn't be surprised to see the stock market continue to bounce here a bit, but I still think that we've got a ways to go down yet, and we just don't know when the miners will decouple from there, and gold in particular. You know, if you take a look at the weekly gold chart, the lower weekly Bollinger band is around 1775 now, and I wouldn't be surprised to see that hit if gold and everything got caught up in like a flash crash type event sell-off. I'm not seeing that as very likely, but, you know, that's always a possibility. But like I said, you know, you are starting to see some buying in some of these juniors. And recently we've had up days have been higher volume than down days. So that is encouraging. But, you know, I've still got a lot of cash and I'm still waiting to see how this plays out. And I think that's a good place to be, is to have a lot of cash right now.
So, Dave, I would actually say that gold, the actual metal price, has decoupled a bit from the markets, because it has been relatively flat while a lot of the markets have been selling off, even year to date. The problem being with these stocks, and as you said, back at that last major bottom, or I believe it was 2008, when you were, in a way, closing your eyes, plugging your nose, buying some of these stocks, and trying, I guess, more hoping that it wasn't the worst idea ever, but you were buying them because it seemed like valuations were really low. Are we at that level yet with the metal stocks? Are we at valuations where it does feel like you're closing your eyes, covering your nose, doing all that stuff to buy these stocks? Do you actually think we're there yet with these valuations?
I really don't think so. No, I really don't. It doesn't feel that way yet. And, you know, you don't get that feeling. You get that feeling in the pit of your stomach, like, oh my God, what am I doing buying down here? You just don't, you didn't get that feeling back when the GDXJ hit that low at 35. So, you know, I wouldn't be surprised to see that further on out there, there still is that major move lower. But, you know, it's on a precipice right here. If you take a look at the GDX, that 30 level has been strong support and strong resistance going back to when the phase two of this bull market started in late 2015, early 2016. And I would not like to see that 30 level being closed on a quarterly basis at the end of June. So we're coming up on end of a quarter at the end of June. And I'd like to see the gold price hold 1850 And I'd like to see the GDX hold that 30 level on a quarterly closing basis. Not until we see a gold price close above 1975 on a quarterly basis, that would bring me back into the bull camp on pretty much everything precious metals. That would be a major signal that the bottom is in.
Well, Dave, we'll keep following along and seeing how that develops here at the quarterly close. But let's shift over to at least one bright spot in the precious metals mining space, I guess even in the juniors, and that is there was a news release out this week from Lion One where they put out an intercept that was basically 76 meters at 21 grams per ton gold, and it kind of proved the thesis that in their alkaline system at depth, there's a lot of juicy high grade, and it could be a lot larger deposit, which would be in alignment with other alkaline deposits. We were joking or kind of musing offline that since both of us hold Lion One in our portfolios, it was acting like a hedge against all the other weakness. So maybe speak to that about how you don't have to win on all of these, but sometimes a big win can buoy the rest of your portfolio and just how you look at that as a junior stock junkie.
Oh, exactly. You know, I mean, like you said, you know, fortunately myself and my subscribers were holding this stock. And when you have a news release like this and a hit like this, and it just, it pretty much explodes the stock, it can act like a hedge for the rest of your portfolio because it really doesn't, you know, I'm holding 20 other stocks in my portfolio, and many of them are in various states of some bottoming. Some have maybe a ways to go before bottoming. Some are bifurcating, you know, some, you know, it all depends on where they're at in their de-risking of their projects and in their drilling or whatever. But yes, I mean, when you have something like this happen to one of your stocks, it can act like a hedge. And it's the stock this week has held up my portfolio to where it's been up on both days, while the GDXJ is down for the week and the GDX so far is down for the week. So yeah, I can act like a hedge because, you know, all it takes is just one or two of these things to go ballistic on you. And, you know, it makes all this frustration worthwhile holding these things while we wait for a sector decision on what's going to happen here, because I really feel like we're really close. We're on the precipice here of either a major move down to give us, you know, incredible deals on some of these things, or it's in the process of moving high after already bottoming at the 35 level. So I think I'm waiting for either that 35 level to be tested or maybe gone below a little, because if it gets down to 32, 33, we're talking about the GDXJ here. If it gets down to 32 or 33, that would be a 50% correction from the peak in August of 2020, which was a 300% move from the spike pandemic low. Then that took place in 4.8 months. So it's taken 2 years now for this consolidation to play out thus far. And we're just waiting to see how it ends. So yeah, it's starting to get really exciting. It's been kind of dull lately and frustrating for a lot of people, but I think it's about to get really exciting here very soon.
So you actually think this summer we could see some fireworks? Hey, I know going back to your first answer, you think that we will get some insights into what the Fed is going to do three meetings out, and that could cause direction. Why don't you think that we might just grind along here throughout summer without any major changes happening to central bank policy or, quite frankly, markets?
Hey, that's a great point. We could very well do that. You know, the sector has a tendency to make major bottoms in the July, August timeframe. So we could just, you know, scuttle about here on the lows until July. But, you know, the way it's played out and the way the stock market is behaving, it's all tied together. And gold has been a great barometer for these things, you know. Back in 2008, it was the gold sector that peaked first and started to sell off before the equity sector did. And then it was the gold sector, like I said before, that bottomed before general equities. So I really think we're getting close to a major move here. I could be wrong, but basically the main thing is I prepared myself and my subscribers for either outcome. And that means that I have kept core positions and I've kept a lot of cash, basically rooting for either outcome. You know, I'll be happy for either outcome. If we have another big move lower, and I'm able to scoop things up cheaper that are on a watch list or maybe add to a few things, then I'd be happy to do that. But if it's already bottomed and the GDXJ has a strong move above 47 level with strong volume, you know, suggesting that a bottom is in, then I'll be happy to add to positions after that.
Okay. Dave, thanks for your insights here. Again, seems like waiting on inflation data and then even more so waiting on the Fed statement and press conference. Who knows if Jerome Powell is going to turn something on its head or change decision, but one thing we can say about the Fed is that they have really stuck to their guns, not made any breakneck decisions or snap decisions. So who knows if we're going to see something this meeting. But either way, inflation data, then Fed meeting. Who knows if we get some market moves on the back of that. Dave, thank you, as always, for your time, man. We'll chat next week. Hope you have a great rest of your week.
You too, Corey. Look forward to it.